Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The much-debated issue of school scripture is entering a significant new phase with a petition launched by the Fairness in Religion in Schools group aimed at ceasing special religious instruction. It's said to be a parent-run campaign supporting education about religion. They are sensitive to multiculturalism in Australia and committed to both the secular principle of public education and the separation of church and state. In response, the Children of the World group, a ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, believes the target is not just scripture, but also chaplaincy. It's urged its supporters to pray that this campaign against special religious education is brought to nothing. Now, it's abundantly clear that Open House is a radio program with a clear Christian voice, unashamedly, across all sorts of issues and stories of people's lives. We're also on about open, balanced, respectful debate across all these issues, and in particular, an issue like school scripture that so inflames passions on both sides. We are unafraid to air all the arguments, so we can best be informed when we make up our own minds. So I thought it important to hear from both the Children of the World group and Fairness in Religion in Schools on this significant issue, to get both sides to have a fair say and then see what you have to say. We'd love to throw this open to an open house conversation. We'd love to hear from you on this. 1300 40 20 20, once we've heard the various arguments from first Graham MacDonald from the Children of the World Ministry and Dr. David Singer, a senior lecturer from the Faculty of Education at Monash University in Melbourne, who's launched this petition. Gentlemen, welcome to both of you to Open House.
Thank you for the opportunity, Lee.
Thanks, Lee.
First, Dr. Singer, why have you launched the petition, but also why now?
Well, a number of educators have been very concerned about the role that groups like Access Ministries have been playing in schools. We are strong believers that public schools should be free, compulsory, and of course secular, as it says in the Education Act.
And yet scripture has been in public education for a long time.
Well, it depends on the state. And it varies from state to state in Australia. When you're talking about scripture, what do you mean when you say scripture? You mean teaching about religion, or teaching all children to become faith adherents?
How would you answer that, Graham MacDonald?
Well, I think the removal of the religious instruction ignores the fact that children do have a spiritual dimension to their lives. And the religious education found on our Judeo-Christian heritage not only nurtures and develops this spiritual dimension in children, but inspires them to use it for the good of others. An example would be, the golden rule that is often promoted, where we treat others as you would want them to treat you.
But it is more than teaching about religion, isn't it?
Oh, it's more about within the religion. There are a lot of components that people would take on as everyday values, and one of them, as I was going to say, was the treat others as you would want them to treat yourself, which Jesus said a little differently. He said, "Love your neighbour as yourself." And this practical example, I think, is helpful in dealing with such issues as bullying and racial discrimination, which often raises its ugly head, sadly, in our schools.
Dr. Singer, that sounds good for our world?
Well, it does sound good, of course. But while Graham might like to argue that our foundations are based on Judeo-Christian principles, well, some of those principles also include stoning to death gay people. Now, that's not what we want to do today. And therefore, in 2005... the Australian government, through the Ministers of Education, launched the 9 values for Australian schooling: care and compassion, doing your best, fair go, freedom, honesty and trustworthiness, integrity, respect, responsibility, understanding, tolerance and inclusion. And there is no mention there of any faith at all. These are common human values which are shared by all faith and non-faith-based people.
Graham McDonald?
Yeah, well, I think David actually makes quite a valid point. And I'd say what he's saying is true, because many of the humanist and humanistic ethics are similar to Christianity and the other faiths. And this is another reason why I believe the role of religious instruction is so important, because religious instruction affirms these qualities and it teaches them actively, albeit in a particular religious or cultural context. And so students actually learn about the historical and cultural basis of these values, which has positively influenced cultures for many centuries across all continents. So, and again, I'd suggest there's another reason to support RE. In fact, I would be encouraging parents to send their children along to RI.
Graham, one of your arguments is that on the basis of polling from Oxford University is that there's two-thirds support of teaching Christianity in schools. 38% in this poll say that the Bible should be taught in school. 30% say children should be taught the Lord's Prayer.
All of these things that are being muted, I think, have got very, very positive influence on children's lives. And I know David quoted something from the Old Testament that would probably not be taught today. However, having said that, the more modern research by a Professor Martin Seligman, who's considered one of the world's most foremost voices in positive psychology, recognises and confirms the need to nurture and develop the spiritual intelligence of children, which I think in fact, he actually goes on and he demonstrates that the meaningful life consists of knowing your strengths and using them in the service of something larger than yourself, which is one of the fundamentals of the Christian life.
Can I respond to that, please, Lee?
Yeah, sure.
Graham has mentioned the research done out at Oxford University. And in fact, the research was polling 1,800 adults who said that learning about Christianity was essential for children to understand English culture and the way of life. It was not about anything else but that. And then Nigel Fancourt from Oxford University has actually indicated that teaching Christianity can be incoherent or too stereotypical. And it says it lacks intellectual development. Now, the big issue with teaching religion in schools is that religion is a family and personal issue, and if families want their children to be given religious instruction and religious education, it is their responsibility to do that, not the public education system.
Graham, hasn't he got a point there?
Oh, I believe he has, but I would also suggest that it's the family responsibility to teach their children not to bully, to have respect for others, and there's a whole range of social issues that our children should be taught in families. The reality of it is that that doesn't happen. I mean, if that happened, we wouldn't have to have in our schools special programs for bullying if the parents did their job properly. My concern is that a lot of the values that we would want our children to have, which David's included in the secular education, I appreciate that, but the religious education side of it would confirm what David is already promoting, and because the families are often not able to help their children with these issues, here we have not only the education system, but we also have the religious instruction people coming along to confirm and help build up those particular values for the betterment of our society.
David, can I ask you about a YouTube video that you've put together on this,
absolutely,
which we've posted on our Open House Community Facebook page, in which you pay lots of attention to Access Ministries. For people who haven't necessarily seen that, what are your concerns about their role in the schools?
Well, Access Ministries are a proselytising organisation, and they are looking for a captive audience, school children, to indoctrinate them in a faith that they may not necessarily want to be indoctrinated in. As the Jesuits used to say, get them young and you've got them for life. I want to go back to the family. If as Graham says, families aren't capable of bringing up their children in their own religious faith, then they should be sending them to their religious faith-based institutions on the Saturday or on the Sunday, to go to weekend school, do it after school, but not during school times. Our public schools are meant to be secular.
Could I just respond to that, please?
In
the ideal world, what David is saying is true. However, I think the issue is about religious instruction is demonstrated by people who are dissatisfied with the current situation and in quite large numbers are actually sending their children, sadly, away from the public school system into schools where religious instruction is a priority. And I have a number of friends who would love to be able to send their children to a school where there is where religious instruction is a priority.
David Singer?
Well, I'm not against private schools. I believe if people want to send their children to private school, they should pay for the whole price and not get subsidised through taxpayers' funds. What is really a shocking indictment of the private school system here in Australia is that people who are on the most basic and minimum of wages are actually subsidising the wealthy middle class to go to elite private schools.
Graham, can I raise this issue with you? It seems to me that at the heart of David's concern is the proselytising or making disciples. That term has been used instead of just teaching about religion. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think the word proselytising, I think, has created a polarisation in this whole discussion. I need to say publicly, I think this discussion needs to take place and should take place on an ongoing basis. And the word proselytising tends to narrow the discussion.
But it's about making disciples, bringing about the conversion of kids in school.
Well, that may be a component of it, but I think there's a greater situation that needs to be addressed and can be addressed through RI and through our public system, keeping in mind what I said earlier about nurturing, developing the spiritual intelligence in children. Research in Australia confirms that children brought up with a strong faith component generally have a more positive approach to life than those who opt for the non-traditional religious beliefs.
And there is actually no research that backs it up, except that research that is has been paid for by the Christian Church. It's not independent research at all.
I believe it is, David, and let me just read a bit from the author of the research, and her comment was that, you know, traditional religion, which we're talking about, tends to promote the idea of social responsibility in thinking of others.
As do the nine values that were agreed to by all ministers of education across Australia in 2005, and these are enshrined in our school education. There are curricular documents that are agreed upon by all ministers of education and teachers to teach about values in our schools. To actually say that values and need to be taught outside of the classroom is an indictment of your understanding of what teachers actually do in our schools today. Our schools are not value-free, and our teachers teach values all the time, and they don't need to focus on one particular faith to teach those values. Now, we live in a multicultural society, and a very multicultural society, and we should be teaching about all religions, but not teaching for religion.
David, is there nothing in the argument that it has been done in schools, it's been there quite clearly in many schools for generations of children? What about that argument?
Well, you know, we used to also whip the children and cane them and give them the strap for many years and years. But we decided in the 1980s that enough was enough with corporal punishment, and we outlawed it. So just because we've always done something doesn't mean we should continue to do it. Look, my issue is we would balk and we should seriously balk at, for example, inviting cigarette companies to come in, or alcohol companies to come in, or new mining companies to come into our schools and try and convert children into drinking alcohol, smoking cigarettes, or being in favour of nuclear activities and uranium mining. We don't allow that to happen, so why should we allow a religious organisation, a faith-based organisation, to come in and try and convert our children to a way of life that they think is more important than another way of life?
Graham McDonald?
Yeah, I would still go back to the research that was done in Australia, and I'll just finish off what some of the findings were, which I think leads us to really consider a bigger issue. And it says the findings from this study suggest that young adults who endorse non-traditional religious and spiritual beliefs are at greater risk for poorer mental health and apparent social behaviour. And so, you know, when you look at the big picture stuff, we see that in Australia, the research has shown that 25% of our 16 to 24-year-olds have mental problems, and an additional 24% suffer from medium to extreme psychological distress. All of this must affect our society. And frankly, I would think it would be more prudent, to be honest, for the secular and the sacred, for want of a better distinction, to sit down and look at these implications of what we're talking about and see how we could not work together to have a unified strategy that would reaffirm all the things that David's talking about. I have no problems with what he's talking about. I think that's great. We have these values. But what RI does do, and I believe can do and contribute in a very positive way, is to reinforce those things for the betterment and the well-being of our children.
David, is it your desire in our multicultural society to banish all religious teaching from the education system, no matter what the faith?
Teaching for religion, absolutely. Teaching about religion and doing comparative religious studies is a very, very important thing that we do, and we currently do that across all curricula in Australia. But there is no place for a proselytising, faith-based education in our public school systems. Graham has talked about mental health issues with non-faith-based adolescents. Well, I don't want to sound flippant here, but let's have a look at what the Catholic Church has done to its young people and the trauma that its faith has caused so many of its adherents today. And if we want to look over time at the issues that have been caused by religious conflict, not over, just in history, but even in our modern times today, the killings, the slaughters, the wars that have been created because of religion and religious struggle between one group and another for supremacy. We've got to move beyond that today and look at people as people, and not from that one religion is more important than another, and one group has the right answer. There is no such thing as complete truth, and one group doesn't hold that truth as sacrosanct.
Graham, what would you say to that argument that religion has a lot to answer for?
Oh, I think there's a lot of evidence to based on what David said. I couldn't argue against that. What I would come back to what I said in earlier, was that this research by this Martin Seligman shows that there is a spiritual component to a child, and that the teaching, the RI teaching of all the different denominations, all the different faiths, can contribute to this child learning and being reaffirmed in the secular teaching of the values. And this can, again, contribute to an overall, I believe, an overall better standard and opportunity for children to respond and be taught in these and founded in these particular values.
Can I finally ask each of you the same question from your different perspectives? As news of this petition has spread, what's been the response of your respective supporters? First, Dr. David Zinger.
Well, we've had many thousands of people want to sign this petition, but what's more significant is not just the numbers, but the numbers of teachers and school principals who say, this is about time. We need to be able to stand up and say, enough is enough. And look, it's interesting about Graham's argument that about social decay. It seems it never changes. No matter how peaceful, safe and prosperous our society gets, we're always seeming to be teetering on the brink of ruin. If you read the papers in the 1950s, they were saying the same thing. If you read the papers in the 1850s, they said the same thing. Moral decay is always right around the corner, about to engulf us all and our children, and therefore we need to have some kind of evangelical intervention. Well, look, if that is the case, let's leave it in the home. Religion is a very private thing. It's not something that's public. In fact, you know, when we have a census, we don't need to actually indicate on that question whether we have religion or not, because it's a private issue. And therefore, there is a separation between state and religion, and religion is an option that people can choose to have if they so wish for, but if they don't want to, then it's no one else's business, and it shouldn't be foisted upon our children at a very young age without their parents' consent, and therefore their parents need to take responsibility for that. Religion is a very personal matter, and every family must be responsible for their own child's religious upbringing, whatever that faith might be.
Graham McDonald, I guess your closing statement as well, but how do you measure the significance of your supporters?
Well, I think the interesting thing for me, to be honest, is the fact that I only became aware of David's YouTube presentation in early December, and on the basis of that I wrote him a letter, and I appreciate he responded to that. I'm amazed at how very few of any of my contacts or colleagues were even aware of it. And since it's become more aware, I've been sort of speaking and passing it on to some folk. Some of the responses have obviously been very negative to David's position. They don't mind his position where he stands, but they're very upset and concerned about his action to try and have scripture removed from all the schools. However, the other thing is that my colleagues and that I believe were away on over Christmas and on holidays, and so I haven't had a great deal of response. But those that I have, as I say, have been very, very negative towards David's actions.
Gentlemen, I really think it's been an important discussion to have. Can I also applaud both of you for the respectful way in which you've argued your cases? I'm really grateful for that, because that's what we're also on about at Open House. Graham McDonald from the Children of the World Ministry and Dr. David Singer from Monash University in Melbourne, thanks so much for joining us on Open House.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank
you, Graham.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, David. And I trust we can have further conversations on this.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.